By the time a child reaches the age of 3 or 4, he or she has learned a magic word. Why? Why will cause many adults to answer a lot of questions, all kinds of questions, when it comes to kids. A couple of weeks ago, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 28. We looked at the information as far as Samuel being brought back from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone were brought back from the dead, one of the questions that would be going through my mind was, what did the person say after they came back from the dead? In the case of Samuel, the Bible tells us what he said. Notice the first word. And Samuel said to Saul, why? Why did you bring me back from the dead? Now, if we were looking at this information on our own, and we were to investigate the word why in the New Testament, we might find something very, very interesting. If you, for example, were looking in the American Standard Translation and you were just looking at the New Testament, you would find that the word why occurs 95 times. Now, if you found that, you might think, well, okay, that's a simple fact and that's not too significant. But if you did a little more looking, if you investigated that more fully, you might find something that's even more peculiar. If you break down that word, you find that most of the whys are not in the main part of the New Testament. Of those 95 times that why is used in the New Testament, 80 of those times occur between Matthew and Acts. Only 15 times, as far as Romans through Revelation, do you find the word why in the ASV translation, and I'm suspecting that would be true for other versions as well. Now, that tells me, and that should tell all of us, that when we deal with the life of Christ, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why keeps coming up time and time again. We're not going to go back and look at the Old Testament as far as this study, but if you were to do that, do you know where the first why occurs in the Old Testament? It's in Genesis chapter 4. And you know what's going on in Genesis chapter 4? God is having a conversation with Cain. When God begins to speak with Cain, do you know the first question, or the first word that God asks? Why? And you just see this being repeated throughout Scripture. When we start looking at the life of Christ, Matthew through John, we again find Jesus often turning to this word. And he does not hesitate as he interacts with people to say to them, even his disciples sometimes, why? In today's world, there are individuals, they tell us that they would like to receive a message from God. Well, suppose that God were to give a message to us. And suppose that that message were to come in the form of a question. And this question is not just any question. This question is something like this, Matthew 6 and verse 28. Jesus says to some people, why? Why are you anxious? Why are you worried about clothing? Suppose that we came out today and Jesus could ask us that same question. Or suppose Jesus were filling the pulpit today. And he used this word to ask us a question. Why are you anxious about your life? Why are you worried about your life? Why are you concerned about something that's going to happen or probably will happen later today? Why are you worried about something which you expect will happen tomorrow? Why are you worried about something which is going to perhaps happen in 10 years, 20 years, or 50 years? Now, I don't know about you, but if the Lord were here talking to me personally, and he were to start with that why question, I'd start squirming in a hurry. And I suspect that would make most people uncomfortable. When it comes to why, a lot of people don't like that kind of question. Jesus did not give people any opportunity to offer an excuse. He says, why are you worrying? And then he launches into a reason for why worry was wrong. He didn't stop. His argument in Matthew chapter 6 is, if God cares about the field flowers, he certainly is going to be careful when it comes to your life. The word why can put us under the microscope when it comes to worry. Now, if you think the worry associated with why would make you squirm in Matthew chapter 6, just wait until you get the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7. Again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, we're probably familiar with this teaching. Let's omit the first word. Jesus says, do you see the speck that is your own, is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? We've heard that. We've probably taught that. And we've perhaps been mindful of that for many years, several decades. But have you ever noticed how that teaching begins? Before Jesus begins to talk about the speck and the beam, he says, why? Why do you do that? It's easy to be critical of others. We're now in a season when a lot of people are focused on love and kindness and giving and consideration. In spite of all those things taking place during this time of year, there are still some people who are engaged in pettiness. People are still judgmental. They're still critical. It's easy to find small imperfections in the lives of others rather than focus on our own major faults. Most people should have the sense to clean up their own lives before they go condemning others. But what a lot of people seem to overlook is the fact that Jesus, as he talks about this, introduces it with the word why. Why? Why would people focus on the small imperfections, the tiny imperfections in the lives of others when their life is such a mess? When we begin to see how Jesus used the word why, we almost begin to cringe. He used this word in a way which caused people to really step back and evaluate their life. In fact, if we could have been on the earth 2,000 years ago, and we could have been with Jesus, we could have heard him teach and see exactly what he was doing, when this word came up, we probably would have started to cringe because we'd have thought, oh boy, it's going to be time to lower the boom on somebody. When that word comes up, you almost begin to kind of curl your toes and flinch a little bit. We've seen the power of why in Matthew 6. We've seen the power of why in Matthew chapter 7. Would you believe that when we go to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 8, again, there is a why? He says unto them, there's that word again, why? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Back there in Matthew chapter 6, we have the why when it comes to worry. Matthew chapter 7, we have the why when it comes to being the fault finder. Now, as we move ahead, just one chapter, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus introduces something else. He's talking about fear, and he says, why are you afraid? Do you remember that little saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I never liked that saying very much. I don't know who came up with that, but I'm suggesting this morning that whoever came up with that little saying, they probably didn't read the Bible very much. If they did, and they would have paid attention to Jesus' use of the word why, they would have come up with a different saying. When you look at the word why, whether it's in life or whether it is in scripture, sometimes it seems it's almost like a club. The single word, the little word why, can cause some serious soul searching. It might be that this morning you came here with some significant fears and worries. When you go home, if you're a Christian, take home the word why. And you use that word to look at your Christian life. Why, if you are a child of God, are you so fearful? Are you not one of God's people? Do you not believe that God has the desire and the power to help you? If God is your God, what would you say? If he asked you why, are you fearful? The word why, if we will take that word and mentally apply that to our lives, it can help silence fear and worry. Now, Jesus used why to make some critical points, but as we look at scripture, we find that he was not the only one that used that word. There were some other people who understood the power of why. For example, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11, we read about some people who were Pharisees. For the most part, the Pharisees were not too enthused about Jesus. They came at him in different ways to trap him in various times. So they go unto Jesus' disciples and they use this word, why? Why does your teacher eat with the publicans and the sinners? So sometimes Jesus' friends and even Jesus himself, people tried to trap the Lord and his disciples with the word why. Imagine a small word being so powerful that it can literally trap people. Jesus' enemies used the word why, but so did some of the Lord's friends and co-workers. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. Jesus one day was visited by some people who were disciples of John. And when these people show up, they have a question and they preface their question with the word why. They say, why do we and the Pharisees often fast, but your disciples do not? Why is a word which can accomplish a lot of things, sometimes with just a very small amount of effort. And sometimes what it accomplishes is unbelievable. Notice this explosive use of why in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3. And he, that's Jesus, answered and said unto them, why? Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Imagine going up to someone and saying, why do you worship in the wrong way? Why do you worship in an apostate way? Now, in our time, we live, for the most part, in a very polite society. There are some questions that people say, don't ask that. Leave that alone. Never inquire about that. Imagine in our society asking someone we know, why do you belong to a church which worships the wrong God? Our society would say that is impolite. You do not ever say that to someone. It's impolite. Imagine asking someone else, why are you part of a church that was built by a man instead of built by Christ? Or why don't you teach the plan of salvation that we have in the Bible versus a plan that was devised by some human being? Why don't you teach people how to become a Christian as we read about in the book of Acts? Why don't you worship as the Bible describes versus some other way? There are some why questions that we need to ask. There are some why questions that we can't ask. And those questions can sometimes create quite a response. Jesus, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3, used the word why to help show people they were religiously wrong. The Jesus of the Bible isn't someone like a person today that's up there shouting and waving their hands and jumping up and down to make his point. He didn't have to do that. He was familiar with the three-letter word, why, and he used it. Sometimes he didn't even have to make a statement. Just asking why was enough to get the ball rolling. Why is a way to make a lot of people think. Why is a way to help people consider or perhaps reconsider some of the choices that they have made or are making. Why can be a great door when it comes to opening a conversation of a religious nature. An important life, important word in the life of every Christian should be why. It's certainly an important part of Scripture. Now, I should tell you that as you look at why, if you ever use this word, it can bring about some very strong reactions. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 23, we have some information about Pilate. And he, that's Pilate, said, why? There's that word again. Why? What evil has he done? Now here we read about a group of people that wanted Jesus to be crucified. Pilate had to make a decision, and he turns to this crowd, this very angry crowd, and he simply asks why. Now Pilate didn't say, well, you know, maybe, or let me think about it, or no. He simply asks why the Lord should be put to death. And that why question created a great deal of anger and hostility. Notice the reaction. But they cried out exceedingly, saying, let him be crucified. Simple question, simple word, and a powerful response. Why often puts people into a position where they must explain and perhaps justify their actions and beliefs. We don't need to be an expert when it comes to using the word why. Jesus even showed the power of why when he was on the cross. Think about the Lord on the cross, probably gasping for breath, very difficult to talk. But if you study Jesus' last words, do you know one of the words that Jesus used? It was why. Why have you forsaken me? We may never be a great speaker. We may never have done very well with English and grammar. We might have, when it comes to vocabulary, a limited number of words that we use. Maybe we don't talk too much. But one of the words, if we're a Christian, that we should know, and one of the words that we should be willing to use at choice times is why. Never, ever underestimate the power of why. When you have an opportunity, ask someone why they worship the way they do. If someone talks to you about the sinner's prayer, ask why they believe in the sinner's prayer. If people talk to you about the church that they attend, ask them why they attend that religious group. You know, when people become parents, they generally learn fairly quickly the value of why. Do you remember in Luke chapter 2 and verse 48, Jesus stayed behind? And his parents, they found him, they located him, and what did they say? Why? And today, parents often do that as well. If you are a grandparent, you can help head your kids and your grandkids in the correct direction, or maybe at least give them some helpful guidance sometimes by simply asking why. Adults can help other adults by asking why. Imagine being in the presence of Jesus and one day being asked this question, and why? Why? Do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How would you like to have Jesus ask you that question, not me? And how would you like to have Jesus ask you that question at the end of time? Why did you spend 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years on the earth, and you called me Lord, Lord? Why did you do that, and you did not obey me? That is not going to be a fun question to ask. I imagine the people who heard this question in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, they went to their graves remembering that question. Here was this great teacher, and he said, why? Why call me Lord, Lord, and you're not willing to do what I say? Asking someone why they believe something or why they do something, it might not seem all that important at the time, but I will guarantee you that there will be some people, if you ask that question in that way, you preface it with why, it will stay with them for life. Luke chapter 22 and verse 46. Not long before Jesus went to the cross, he went with his disciples to pray. Some of the Lord's closest friends fell asleep. When Jesus comes back, he finds them napping. Do you know the first word out of Jesus' mouth, why? Why did you fall asleep? If you had been one of the disciples, can you imagine the pain, the shame, the embarrassment, and the humiliation from just that three-letter word? Why? Why is such a valuable and powerful word that even angels have used it? How do you know? Luke chapter 24 and verse 5. And as they were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why? Why seek the living among the dead? That was a question from the angels. Now, there were times when the apostles were somewhat dense. But as time went along, as they received the Holy Spirit, they finally got some things figured out. And I can't help but wonder that as the apostles, they started to go out and do some of the work that Jesus has been doing, as they began to advance the gospel, there were times where they thought back to Jesus' use of why, and that's perhaps, we know that they were inspired too, but that's perhaps why they used why. We've got, for example, in John chapter 8 and verse 43, one of those times where Jesus used why. He says, why do you not understand my speech? The apostles had heard that time and time again. So when we get to places like Acts chapter 3 and verse 2 or 12, and we find Peter preaching, we find that sometimes he used the word why. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why? Why do you marvel at this man? Or why do you fasten your eyes on us? Peter was inspired. But it also seems that he had learned the value of why by listening to Jesus. When Peter addressed Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, they lied when it came to a financial transaction. They lied about their giving. Do you know what Peter said to them? Why? And that probably stopped them dead in the tracks. When God confronted Saul of Tarsus on the road, God asked him, why? Why are you hunting Christians? And then, of course, when it was time for Saul to become a Christian, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, this question comes up again. And why? Why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? Why have you not yet become a Christian? That's a great question for our time. Sometimes a person knows enough to be a Christian. They've sat in the pews for years. They've been taught perhaps in a Christian home. Why have you never been baptized? Do you think that there's going to be a better day? Do you think that you don't know enough? Do you think that you're not good enough? Do you think that living the Christian life is going to be too difficult? Why? 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 Words can be powerful. They don't have to be words that are long. They don't need to be words which are difficult to pronounce. Sometimes that powerful word is no. Sometimes that powerful word is yes. But why is a true power word. We're close to the end of another year. And assuming that 2025 comes, a lot of people are thinking about how to do things differently in 2025. If you're thinking along those lines, one of the things I would challenge you to do in the new year is think about how you can use why to change your life for the better and also help others. Asking people why they do what they do, or asking people why they believe what they believe, may not change them, but it might start the process. And it might be the reason why people see the need to change the process. If a 3 or 4 year old can think of 1,000 ways to ask why, adults surely can use the word effectively as well. If we are not a Christian, then today we ask the question, why? If we have become a Christian and we're not truly trying to live the Christian life, once again, the question to us is, why? If we're trying to serve God, but we're not doing it in the way that the Bible says, the way that the Bible has authorized, the question for us is why? Why will we not do it right? Why is often an important question in life, but why may also be the question that decides where we spend eternity. I was tempted to have the song sung, Why Not Tonight, but I thought, well, somebody's going to say it's this morning, it's not tonight. But the song that has been selected, still think about those words, Why Not Now? There really is no good reason. Why not now? That's the question that we're asking as we stand and sing.